2 Corinthians 12th chapter, the first verse. It is not expedient for me doubtless to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such a one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one will I glory. Yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. For I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. I am become a fool in glorying, ye have compelled me. For I ought to have been commended of you, for in nothing am I behind the very chiefest apostles, though I be nothing. Truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you, in all patience and signs and wonders and mighty deeds. For what is it wherein you were inferior to other churches, except it be that I myself was not burdensome to you? Forgive me this wrong. Behold, the third time I am ready to come to you, and I will not be burdensome to you, for I seek not yours, but you. For the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. And I will very gladly spend and be spent for you. Though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. But be it so, I did not burden you. Nevertheless, being crafty, I caught you with guile. Did I make a gain of you by any of them whom I sent unto you? I desired Titus, and with him I sent a brother. Did Titus make a gain of you? Walk we not in the same spirit? Walk we not in the same steps? Again, think ye that we excuse ourselves unto you. We speak before God in Christ, but we do all things, dearly beloved, for your edifying. For I fear, lest when I come I shall not find you such as I would, and that I shall be found unto you such as ye would not, lest there be debates, envyings, wraths, strifes, backbitings, whisperings, swellings, tumults, and lest when I come again my God will humble me among you, and that I shall bewail many which have sinned already, and have not repented of the uncleanness and fornication and lasciviousness which they have committed. This is the third time I am coming to you. In the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. I told you before, and foretell you as if I were present. The second time, and being absent now, write to them which heretofore have sinned, and to all others, that if I come again, I will not spare. Since ye seek a proof of Christ speaking in me, which to you would is not weak, but is mighty in you. For though he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you. Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates? But I trust that ye shall know that we are not reprobates. Now I pray to God that ye do no evil, not that we should appear approved, but that ye should do that which is honest. Though we be as reprobates, for we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. For we are glad when we are weak, and ye are strong. And this also we wish, even your perfection. Therefore I write these things, being absent, lest being present, I should use sharpness according to the power which the Lord hath given me to edification, and not to destruction. All right. We see Paul writing here to the Corinthians, and he apparently is grieved. It appears that in his writings that he is disturbed, that he is grieved, and he is trying to explain to the people that they're not walking orderly according to his desire and according to the commandment of God. He said it in so many words. He was telling them that he was their pastor, that he was their minister, and that they were not lacking in anything. That is to say, why do you want to change churches, as we would say? Why is it that you want to leave and go in another direction? He said, you're not coming short in anything. At your church, you have everything, he says. But he said, I'm coming back to you. When I come back over to preach to you, it'll be established then in the mouth of two or three witnesses. For I will come the third time unto you. And he said, I hope that when I come, I find you in such a way that my tones of ministering won't be sharp and cutting, that I might speak to you with love and speak to you in humility. I hope that I'll not have to be sharp with you, Paul said, in my ministry. But I will come unto you. And when I come unto you, he said, then I'm going to examine you to find out who is in the faith and who is not in the faith. So then we see that God, the same yesterday, today, and forever, the same great, mighty apostle of God, is trying to convince the people of Christ in his day. And he's trying to tell them that he is mightily anointed of God. And he tells them that he was caught up into the heavens. Or he uses the term, I knew of a man. Said he was caught up into the heavens. And said he saw things or heard things, that is, that it was not lawful for him to speak. He said, I doubtless shall come to visions and revelation. Though I have abundance of revelation, Paul said, yet I doubtless shall come to more revelation. You know, that's the thought that we ought to have in mind, and that's the zeal that we ought to have for God, is that though I have revelation, and we surely ought to have some revelation, but though I have revelation, yet I will come to more revelation. You know, a lot of people don't even have revelation, but we most assuredly ought to have some revelation. We should by all means be a servant of God in such a way that we have revelation and that we have visions from God. The Bible tells us in the last days that young men shall see visions. Your young men and young women will be able in the latter times to see visions from God. But Paul said, though I've had visions, many visions, he said, yet I doubtless shall come to more visions. And I doubtless shall come to more revelation from God. This ought to be the theme of our lives, is to search out the matters of the King. And then not only to search them out, but the Bible tells us that the King's matter requires haste. And that we ought to be in a hurry to be about God's business and make haste to come into the things of God, that we can be commended of God and that we can be made manifest among the people as those that are in the presence of Jesus Christ. But I marvel, even at little Bethlehem, I marvel at the many people that I have that have been with me so many years, and some of them are not even spiritual. Even in the services, I notice that their attention can be diverted so very easily, and they have such little control over their spirit as to direct their attention and their minds in concern for the things of God. The Bible tells us that he that hath no control over his spirit is like a city with a broken down wall. The devil just does any little old thing and can draw your attention to it or divert your attention. That's the reason why that many people cannot live an overcoming life. People are living in such a shadow way until they have no depths to their experience. And when they get out here in the world, the first little thing that takes place draws their attention. Some little worldly thing that takes place, or something comes up out there that might be of interest to the flesh, and the first news you know, they've beat to it from the path that they should be walking in, and they go right after that thing. Is that right? All right. So then what we need is a deepening experience with God. We need to get down to business with God. We need to love Jesus with all of our heart. Talk about Him all day long. Think about Him all day long. When you lay down at night, the last things that ought to be on your mind before you sleep is Jesus. All during the night, should you happen to wake up at any time, the first thoughts that you should have is Jesus. And when you awake in the morning, the first thoughts that should be on your mind is Jesus. And if it isn't that way, then there's something wrong with your experience. The Bible tells us that the man of God meditates in the laws of God day and night. And he that keepeth his mind stayed upon Christ Jesus shall have perfect peace. So then what we need to do is keep our hearts in tune with God and keep our minds on Jesus and be always looking for a new experience with God. Our whole desire should not be to make money, nor to get fame, or to get a position in this life, but rather to find our place in the mind of Christ. We should be interested in visions. How many of you tonight are interested in seeing visions? Do you do anything? Do you make any effort to see visions? Do you make any effort at all to see visions? Do you make any preparation, as I preached the message the other night? Do you prepare in any way to have Christian qualifications so that you might be able to see visions? Do you make any special effort to set a time aside for prayer that you might become spiritual minded, that you might see visions? A brother was telling me today, talking to me, he said, "Brother Pike," he said, "I just want to get away from the natural things of this life." He said, "I long so much to be spiritual. I just want so much to get into a position to where I can be spiritual and to where I can think about the lovely things of Jesus." You know, a lot of people, when they think about religion and they think about the things of God, it's such a drab thing to them, you know. It's such a thing that it doesn't interest them. But the reason for that is they have never come into the mind of Christ. They've never got a glimpse of the great things of God. Because one time you see those heavenly things, you lose all desire for the things of this world. Did you know that? Brother, when you come into the things, the place that I have been and see the things that I've seen in God, you don't have any interest in this world whatsoever. You have such a desire to be with God. Paul made the statement one time. He said, "I have a desire to be with Christ, which is far better than being in this world." You come to the place to where you don't care about being in this world. You don't care about being with people. You don't care about having money and prestige. All you'd like to do is be in the presence of God all day long, all night long. You just want to be in the presence of God. A lot of times, I go to my bed, and I lay down, and I'll lay there about 5 or 10 minutes, and I'll tell my wife, I'll say, it might be 12 o'clock at night, it might be 1 o'clock in the morning. I'll say, "But I can't lay here. I've got to get up from here. I just can't lay here. I've got to get up. There's something calling to me. Though I be tired, though I be very weary, yet there's something compelling me, something calling to me." And just to be able to get away somewhere and get on my knees, to me, it's more rest than laying there in the bed, relaxing my nerves and getting the tension off of my body. Just to be able to get away with God and be able to pray and have Him to whisper to my heart and to feel His lovely presence, to feel that wonderful atmosphere that He creates when He comes down near you. Just to be able to feel that, it's worth more than all the world to me. It's worth more than getting my rest at night. I love to feel His lovely presence. I love to talk with Him. It's such an interesting thing to talk with God. Have you ever talked with God?
Have you ever lived with God? Have you ever walked with God? It's such an interesting thing just to walk with God. The Bible said Enoch walked with God 300 years. He walked with God for about 60, lived about 65 years, and then had a son. And then after that, he walked for 300 years with God. Just think what a great thing that would be. If today, if I had the opportunity to walk 300 years with God. Yeah, he said, Brother Pike, that's something we could never have. But did you know, I'm planning to walk with him a lot longer than that. I'm planning to walk with him a lot longer than 300 years. I'm planning to walk with him right on throughout the eternities. Are you? Enoch walked with God 300 years, and the Bible said he was not, for God took him. 300 years of fellowship, and they had such great fellowship that God loved it so well. He just said, Enoch, come on over to my house. I like that, don't you? Hallelujah. Just to walk with God. Now you might walk with the president, you might walk with the senator, you might walk with the banker, you might walk with somebody of prestige, you might walk with some movie star, that's something. But friend, when you walk with God, that's really something, when you walk with God. All right, so then we should be at our very best for God. We should be spiritual minded. We should have a hunger, a burning desire. To want to see visions. I long to see visions. I long to walk in the Spirit, to see in the Spirit, to look into the spiritual world. I enjoy being in this world. I enjoy walking with people. I enjoy loving my wife and my children, having my friends. I enjoy that. But I tell you, there's no comparison with walking with God. I want to be to where I can at all times feel His Spirit. At any time, I can go into a vision. At any time, I can communicate with God. If I don't walk like that and live like that, then I'm not satisfied. If the least bit of condemnation comes up in my heart, or I have the least feeling that things are not right between me and God, then I'm all disturbed about it. I don't want one tiny shadow of a pin between me and God. I don't want anything wrong between me and God. I want everything just exactly right down to the intents of my heart. If I can't have it right down to the intents of my heart, I'm going to go to God and find out why. Because I want that feeling to where there is not one tiny bit of condemnation between me and God. I want to feel that presence of God in such a way that I know that everything that I go to do, that God is right with me. I don't want to make a decision without God. I try to be so careful as not to make a decision without God. A lot of times people will influence you. A lot of times you'll listen. You know, for people's sake in doing things, you'll just listen to them when you feel impressed to do another thing. But in all cases, you'll find out it doesn't work out properly when you do that. So then, we need to have an experience with God. I doubtless shall come to visions, and I doubtless shall come to revelation. Though I have revelation, though I've already seen many visions, yet I am still searching, Paul said, and I am coming to more visions. And though I have faith in God, he said, yet I am still contending for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints of God. When you think about the faith that Moses had, he's speaking of saints of God back in the days of Moses. When you think about the faith that Moses had, when he could stand upon a great mountain and the power of God would come down and the presence of God would come down. You know, it's hard to find evangelists like that, isn't it? It's hard to find prophets like that, that right up on the top of a mountain, God himself came down as a blazing fire and the whole mountain literally shook and burned as a blaze. Moses, the great man of God, a man just like you and I are a man. How do you know that Moses was a man just like I'm a man? A man just like Brother Gonzalez is a man. Moses was a man just like you, a man. But he loved Jesus, and Jesus loved Moses. And the Bible said Moses was faithful in all of his house. And when Moses would turn his face toward heaven, things begin to happen. Isn't that right? The Bible tells us when you fast and when you pray, that we should fast and pray according to the order of God's word to make our voices to be heard on high. If we're fasting for any other reason, it's vanity to God. But we need to fast in such a way that we make our voices to be heard by God. When I turn my face to heaven, I would like to be like Moses. I would like to be like Elijah. The Bible tells us that Elijah was a man of like passion, the same as you and I. He was a man of like passion. When Elijah got ready for it to rain, he just turned his face to heaven and he began to pray and he said, God, will you hear my prayer? Israel needs rain. Will you give Israel rain? And he prayed and he prayed and the Bible said it rained. The rain of heaven came down. And yet he was a man just like Brother Pike's a man. He was a man just like Brother James Ellis is a man. Elijah was a man of like passion, the same as you and I. But he prayed to God earnestly and sincerely, and the Bible said God heard his prayers. Old Brother Daniel was a man just like I'm a man. But Daniel was a man that was beloved of God, a great and a mighty man that was favorable in the sight of God. And the Bible said that when Daniel prayed, he would turn his face toward heaven, and all of a sudden the visions would begin to take place. Daniel would be calling on God down by the banks of the Euphrates. It didn't make any difference. Over in his bedroom, wherever he was in the lion's den or whatever, when he turned his face toward God, things begin to take place. Old Daniel would turn his face toward heaven, and things would begin to take place. You know, a lot of times I love to picture things like that in my mind and visualize them. And I think of Daniel like this, you know. Daniel, just another man like you and I, going about the king's matter, settled the wise men of Babylon, just going about his daily activity, having to make a living, you know, for him and his family. But I think about it like this. At the times that Daniel stopped and began to look up to heaven, I believe from the very minute that he would turn his face toward heaven, things begin to take place. I believe that when Daniel looked up into the heavens up there, that Michael and Gabriel begin to take notice. I believe the very minute that he would turn his face toward heaven, God would say, look, Daniel's looking this direction. Let's listen to see what he's got to say. Hallelujah. You say, I don't believe that, Brother Pike, but it's true. Glory to God, you can get to the place to when you turn your face to heaven, God will take notice of it. I spoke the other night of Cornelius, how the Bible said he prayed and he prayed and he prayed. He prayed and he prayed to God so much, gave alms of all that he possessed, until one day he turned his face toward glory and God said, there comes a memorial from the earth. There comes a great memorial from the earth. Said, look down there. Some people build the Tower of Babel, but he said, look here, look at heap upon heap, said it's come right up into the presence of God. There God sent the angel of the Lord from his presence and said, go down there and find out what's troubling Cornelius. Isn't that the way we ought to pray? They say that James prayed so much that he had calluses on his knees like a great big camel. That's right. God loved him so much that history records that when they came in there and they killed James, it is commonly believed that that is why that God plowed Jerusalem like a field, just because of James. They believe, the people of that day believe that God loved James so much, though the Bible doesn't say a whole lot about James. Just a book there, a little book of James. But yet, the historians say that the people loved him so much and had such great respect for him, that they believe that God sent Titus in there to plow that city as a field just because of what they did to James. Now, that's the way I want to be. I want to be like Abraham. The Bible said Abraham was called the friend of God. Isn't that right? Abraham, the friend of God. When God come down, he'd say, my friend Abraham, what do you want? What do you want? You know, I picture Abraham in my mind when Abraham would go to pray and Abraham would say, God, I've got problems. God, there's heartaches, there's trouble surrounding me. Lord, there's problems coming up. And I can just picture God saying, my friend Abraham, what would you like for me to do for you? Oh, somebody said, hey, Brother Pike, God wouldn't do that. But God will do that. God will do that. The Bible said in the heat of the day, God came down to the little tent where Abraham was. In the very heat of the day, came down to the very tent, just like Brother Taylor would come over to visit me. He came down to Abraham and he sat there and he talked to Abraham. You love Jesus? The Bible doesn't say that God went down in Sodom and Gomorrah to talk to Lot, does it? It said the angels went down there to talk to him. But the Bible said God went down and talked to Abraham. Isn't that wonderful? He said, and who is like unto my servant Moses? I will speak face to face with him. Miriam said, well, I'm a prophetess. I got a right to hear what you got to say. God said, my prophet Moses will tell you. Hallelujah. My prophet Moses will tell you, when I get ready to say something, Aaron, you might be the high priest, but when I want you to know something, I'll tell you through Moses. You love Jesus? I'll tell you what, we can find favor in God, and we can come to visions, and we can come to revelation, and we can get caught up into the third heaven with God, and we can become great and mighty in the sight of God, as I spoke of this morning. All right. Paul said, I'm coming to you the third time. I've got something to tell you the third time. I've told you the first time. I've told you the second time, but now I want to tell you the third time, he said. I'm coming to you the third time. Let every word be established in the mouth of two or three witnesses. I want to tell you the third time. I have had a vision. I doubtless shall come to revelation. He said, I want to see you perfected. You know what my desire is tonight? My desire is to do the will of God and see the saints of God perfected. I want to see the saints of God perfected. The Bible said we wish this, even the perfecting of your faith. And I want to see the saints of God perfected. That's what I'd like to see. And brothers and sisters, you can be perfect in God. Did you know that? You can be perfect in God. You may have a broken heart. You may be lonely. You may be very sad. I know of numbers of people that are very, very sad, brokenhearted, down in their heart, down inside. They're brokenhearted. Their homes are broken up. Their loved ones are gone from them. They desire just to have somebody to love them. They don't feel the warmth and love of their companion. And they feel exiled and they feel cut off. But did you know Jesus can satisfy that longing? Did you know that? Now you might not get your companion to do it, but Jesus can take care of it. You might feel so lonely and so pushed aside. But brothers and sisters, if you call on God, God can satisfy the longing and desire of your heart in such a way that you won't need that companion's affection. Did you know that? Hallelujah. So then, God has the answer. God wants to bless us tonight. God wants to do something for us tonight. God wants you to be great and mighty. God wants you to come to the place that when you turn your face to heaven, that Michael will say to Gabriel, look, look, there's a saint of God praying. We need to go down there and do something about it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. When those brethren prayed in that day, old Jeremiah and Ezekiel and the prophets of old, when they begin to pray, one of them said, I was praying, and here come a hand. He said, the form like unto a hand, said it picked me up by my lock. He said, it just got a lock of my hair and picked me up by my hair. And said he took me way up into the heavens. Can you imagine that? A great big hand coming down, just picking you up by one of your locks. Would have a hard time doing me that way, you know. But picking up by the locks, you know, taking way up into heaven. Hallelujah. Now God could do it, couldn't he? If it wasn't a lock, he could grow one. All right, so then God wants to do something for us. Just pick them up, hallelujah. Transport them over to the valley of dry bones. Set them down in the valley of dry bones and say, start preaching. Start preaching. Somebody say, glory to God, I don't have a congregation to preach to. There's a graveyard out there. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Somebody said, I can't preach to nobody. God said, preach to the bones. Prophesy. Hallelujah. Somebody, if I was in a church with about 15,000 people, why, I'd just get inspired and I'd prophesy. Old brother Ezekiel got inspired. There wasn't nobody around but the bones. Amen. How do you believe he prophesied? Amen. Today, if I was out there in the middle of the graveyard prophesying, somebody said, that old boy's done going off a deep end. Something's happened to him. Better send for the men with a straitjacket. Isn't that right? That didn't bother Ezekiel and them. While they just went on and done what God told them to do. Could you imagine a man laying over on his side like this? God said to the prophet, said, get you some cow's dung and bake it. Or cook it, get it fixed up, ever how you have to eat it. Said, get you some cow's dung. And it's laying there on your side saying, thus saith the Lord, and take a bite of cow's dung. Say, thus saith the Lord, and take a bite of cow's dung. Somebody say, the poor fella. Something happened to him upstairs, the poor fella. But see, it didn't matter with them, did it? They knew God had spoke to them. And when they said, thus saith the Lord, something took place. The whole nation sometime would shake and tremble. It would affect an entire nation when they begin to speak. Come out of the mountains and maybe nobody had seen them for days. And they come back out of those mountains, back in the foothills back there. And they come into the city and they might not have had a shave for a long time. They come out with a little piece of skin wrapped around them. Walking maybe crouched over where they'd been back there in the woods for so long. But they walked down the streets of Israel. Somebody say, here's the prophet. All of the city would be stirred. The mayor would come out. All of the senators would come out. Everybody would come out. Hey, man, and that fellow over there, he might have been stooped over with a little cane. I don't know. He might have been standing there, you know, with the skin wrapped around him, whatever. But here they come out, the dignitaries and all the ones in the long robes that come out, and they'd stand there, you know, and they wanted to know what was going on. He'd say, thus saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thus saith the Lord. I've never been to college, but I've got a word from God. Hallelujah. For you dignitaries, glory to God. Hallelujah. And all of them listened. And the ones that didn't listen wish they had to listen. Praise God. Like I said the other night, you know, while one of them was prophesying, this fellow, he come up, this false prophet said, you know, when he's traveling evangelist, he got him some horns and he pushed this way and he pushed this way, and I guess he took his offering after that. I don't know. I said, you don't have to worry about it. You got a prophet. That prophet said, thus saith the Lord, what I have said will come to pass. And when God gets through with you, he'll put you in a hole. And they put him in a hole. And the words of the prophet came to pass just exactly the way he said it would be. Folks, what we need to do is be spiritual. We need to get a hold of God. We need to grab a hold of the horns of the altar and cling to the horns of the altar and talk to Jesus until he knows us by name. Amen, that's right. Oh, he said, Brother Pike, he couldn't, you never get that close to God. That angel said, Daniel, hallelujah, Daniel, he knew his name. Them fellas went over there messing around with that man that had the devil in him over there. They said, Jesus, I know. Paul, I know him. I know him by name, isn't that right? Hallelujah. I know him by name, glory to God. Said, but I don't know nothing about you. There ain't no record of you up here. There ain't no record of you up here. Oh, my brother, what a sad day that will be. And God begins to look in the book of life and he begins to run down the things of God. He begins to run down that book and he can't find any record of you. And he can't find your name anywhere in that book. What a sad time that's going to be. Just think, I can't hardly bear the thoughts of going before God and hear him say, your name is not in this book. The Bible said they that overcame, he wrote their names down in the Lamb's book of life, even from the foundation of the world. And said, he that overcometh, I will not blot his name out of the Lamb's book of life. And when they came back rejoicing, they said, Lord, we can cast out devils. Said, why, we found out when we call the name Jesus, why devils just take off a running. They just leave. We just say Jesus, and they're gone. And he said, don't rejoice over this. Don't be glad because you can cast out devils. But he said, let me tell you something. You'll be glad because you don't have to go down into those flames down there. You'll be glad because your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. You rejoice because your names are written in the Lamb's book of life. Be thankful that you don't have to go into that place, that eternal place of damnation, that eternal place of separation. You rejoice. Rejoice to know that your names are written down in the Lamb's book of life. Brothers and sisters, when you stop to think about that, that your name is written in the Lamb's book of life, that is the greatest thing that will ever happen to you in all of your lifetime. Did you know that? There is nothing that's equal to that, that your name is written in the Lamb's book of life, that you don't have to be turned into the lake of fire. You don't have to be eternally separated from God to go through that eternal torture and that separation from now on. Oh, how wonderful. To know that we have the power, Brother Gonzalez, that we are endowed with the Spirit of God and the power of God to loose those that are in prison and to pull those out of the fire that would go into the flame. We have the power to keep them from suffering. You know, sometimes I get to thinking, I say, my God, there's so many people in hell already. My God, I just can't think about it. I get to thinking about it, it tears me all to pieces. And I think, my, so many hundreds of thousands of people, there's nothing I can do to reach them. I have hard enough time trying to reach these that are still alive. And I say, I can't reach those, Father. I can't get to those. My God, they're gone forever. through my negligence and your negligence and other people's negligence. Some of you have lived a lifetime and you've let souls go into the farm so that you could lay up a little dollars, we say, for your nest egg. You've let people die and go to hell while you were so busy building your house and making money. You've let people die and go to hell while you was looking for a career somewhere. While you was busy doing the things that you wanted to do, gossiping and backbiting, doing the things of the world. But oh, beloved friend, let me tell you something. We're going to stand before God one of these days. We're going to stand before the Christ of heaven. One of these days, we're going to answer to God for every day that we ever lived. Everything that we ever done. And if we've neglected to try to win souls during our lifetime or to give our lives to Christ, it's going to be a sad, sad day. A sad day. Did you know everything that I can do today from here on out will not suffice for the things that I failed to do in the past? Isn't that right? I cannot suffice for my negligence of the past. There's no way that I can do that. But I'll tell you what, godly sorrow and repentance causes me to realize that I need to double my efforts for the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Brother Torrance, we need to double our efforts, brother. Glory to God and move out for Jesus. He that winneth souls is wise, hating the garments that spotted with sin and pulling them out of the fire. Will you stand with me? A great day that we're living in, and a great opportunity. We have such a great day and such great opportunity. There's never been a day like this day. Never been an opportunity like the opportunity that we have now. So then I ask you to reconsider, consider your ways and consider your life. Consider what you have done and what you failed to do. Let's think it over. Maybe you've still got a few years. Maybe Jesus will tarry. Or maybe you'll live a little longer. Let's trust that you will. Who knows? God could call you today. He could call you before the morning. You know, we like to think that God will call everybody else. But when we think about us, God has showed us, you know, what all we going to do. Can you say amen? And we feel like everybody else will be called, but to our sudden surprise a lot of times, it can be you as well as it can be me. You love Jesus? I've known of a lot of people that were so sure that somebody else was going to die, but they died themselves. Had dreams that other people died, and told all about it, but when it came by, they died. It pays sometimes to check up and see what's going on. Because you're young, that doesn't mean you're going to live a long time. Because you're old, that doesn't mean you're going to die. Did you know that? Oh, somebody say, everybody's got to die. Enoch didn't. He was kind of old, 300 years or more. Getting on up in age, wouldn't you say? If a fellow get 365 years old, I'd say he's getting right on up in age. Of course, he was still in kindergarten, you know, compared to Methuselah, his son. But that is a good old age, at least to get started to live. Praise God. You love Jesus? So then God can do whatever he wants to. We judge one way, God judges another way. What we need to do is be on fire for God. If we live a day, we need to live that day for Jesus. If we live a month, we need to live that month for Jesus. If we live 50 years, we need to live that 50 years for Jesus. Always doing something for Jesus. Just have a burning desire. Reminded of what Brother Gary Armstrong said today. Said he had a vision last night. And he said, Brother Pike, he said, I was out in pecan orchard. And said, I was gathering pecans and said, we was picking them up, putting them in a bucket or something. And said, I picked them up and there's little pecans about like this. And I kept throwing them into the bucket. And I said, they got about this size. And I kept throwing them in a bucket and they got about this size. Said, and I kept throwing them in a bucket and said, they got about this size. Said, after a while, said, I looked down and one of them weighed 100 pounds. Now that's some pecans. He didn't altogether understand what it was. But it sure sounded like a blessing to him. You know the first thing he said he wanted to do? He said to Brother Wayne, he said, Wayne, said, let's take one of these to Brother Pike. Hallelujah. Ain't that something? Let's take one of these over to the preacher. 100-pounder. Couldn't pick it up, so he just started rolling it. But wouldn't that be wonderful if everybody had that kind of outlook that God has blessed me, and I want to take something over to the minister, or I want to take something to God. For taking it to the minister, if he's the right kind of minister, you take it to God. Wouldn't that be wonderful? But somebody would say, well, I'm gathering them, and they're big. I'm gathering lots of money, you know, lots of things in this world. And I just got plenty of room for it, and I think I want some more. One of these days, I'm going to share something with the preacher. One of these days. But you don't know what day it's going to be, do you? Yesterday, you thought it would be tomorrow, but tomorrow, you thought it would be day after tomorrow. And day after tomorrow, you thought, well, it'd be a little while longer. Is that right? And then a little while longer, you decided it have to be sometimes. But consequently, some of you never got around to doing it. And some of you never will get around to doing it. Even giving your life to God and to the minister, let alone giving your substance. You've never got around to giving him your mind. So then, it seemed that some people never get enough to share with anybody else. Isn't that right? That's why people just get bigger, bigger, bigger like a great big balloon, is because they just can't get enough to share with anybody else. Are you listening? That's why. I must say, well, boy, you sure fix him up. And that's why some people get smaller and smaller and smaller, is because God don't ever give them anything, because they never give anything to anybody else. Do you love Jesus? It looks like it works both ways. All right, so then what we need to do is do like Gary. Get that pecan, if you can't pick it up, start rolling it in the direction of the church. You love Jesus? Hallelujah. I'll tell you what, when we share with God, we're going to be a prosperous people, we're going to be a healthy people, and we're going to be a happy people. Brother Pike won't have to get up here and preach prosperity and prosperity and prosperity. He won't have to do that. You don't have to get up and preach prosperity to people to have them prosper. All you got to do is preach Jesus to them. Preach holiness to them. And the Bible said, whatsoever that man doeth shall prosper. You just get him right. You don't have to go around preaching all these sermons about prosperity. Most of the people preach that is looking for their own prosperity anyway. If they can convince you that you're going to prosper, they can get what you've already prospered in and let you get what's coming in the prosperity that they're preaching. You love Jesus? Say, Brother Pike, you sure are crude in your statements. That's the way it works. I've been around them. I know how they work. All right. So then God is good. God is good. Let's sing a little chorus together. If your body suffers pain and your health you can't regain, and you have to get along on mega fare, oh, just remember in God's word how he fed the little bird. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Go leave it there, oh, leave it there. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. If you'll trust, don't ever doubt, God will surely lead you out. Take your burden to the Lord and leave them there. You know, you take and lay back everything you got. Just keep on laying it back. They got a box for you. They got a hole for you. They're going to dig it after a while. And you just lay it back. Just keep on laying it back. It's like I said the other night, God gives travail to the wicked. God gives them a good mind to work. Let them work. That's what the beasts are for. He'll hitch them to the plow and let them work. God gives to the wicked travail to work and to work and to work. Why does he do that? To heap together treasures, to buy land and to buy houses and to put money in the bank, to lay up money. Why does he want to do that? The Bible said so the righteous can enjoy it. Amen. Hurry and get it laid up. Work, labor. Don't give anybody anything. Just lay it up. Don't let anybody have it, because we're going to come by and get it after a while. My, how we're going to enjoy it. You just lay it up. You hoard it. You just hoard it. Watch God convert that wife, and then you'll die and leave it, and she'll give it all to God. I know that grinds at you like a rock, but you can't do nothing about it. You can't do nothing about it. They're going to put you in a hole, and she's going to invest in God. Amen. And a lot of times it's just the other way around. That woman, she's so greedy that she wouldn't give a dime to God, and after a while they're going to put her in a hole. And when they do, the man's going to take it and give it to God. You love Jesus? So then why not be wise while you're living and do something for God and let God bless you? Somebody would say, what I'm going to do is will everything I got to God. Don't be foolish. I said, don't be foolish. A lot of evangelists, they'll say, now what you need to do is will everything you got to God. That's fine. The evangelist can use it. Whatever you give them, that's fine. Nothing to say against it. But friend, let me tell you something. You are not going to get one penny credit for what you will to God. Well, I know I'd meet a lot of fellas face to face, and they'd say, Brother Pike, you're so wrong. No, no, I'm so right. The Bible said you're going to be rewarded according to the deeds that you do in the body. Is that right? Not what's given after your death, but what you give now. What you do now. Whatever comes after your death is what somebody else is going to give. Did you know that? Have you know that? Somebody said, but I'm going to sign a piece of paper saying they'll have to give it to God when I die. That don't mean nothing. That don't mean a thing. It's what you do right now. You'd better do something right now. If you want something from God, brother, you better do it right now, because when you die, you can't give nothing to God because you're dead. You're dead. And that stuff doesn't belong to you anymore. Somebody would say, well, it still belongs to me. It doesn't belong to you. Can you prove that by the Bible? When you die, your wife don't even belong to you anymore. Somebody say, I love Jesus. If she goes and marries another man, 3 seconds after your death, she's free. In the sight of God, she don't belong to you anymore. She just belongs to you while you're living. How much less does your money belong to you? You believe what I'm telling you? If God don't regard your wife belonging to you, I'm sure he's not going to regard a dollar belonging to you. Somebody said, but I labored for that. The Bible said all the gold and silver is mine. It was God's before you ever got into this world. It didn't belong to you to start with. He just let you have it to see if you'd be a good steward over it. And of course, when you wasn't a good steward over it, he just put you in the ground and gave it to somebody else. All right, so don't be foolish. Let's do something for God now. Let's do something for God now. Let's don't wait till day after tomorrow. Now's the time to do something for God, friend. If you're going to serve God, you better do it now. You may not have any breath to do it with 2 hours from now. Let's do it for God now. If you've never given your heart to God, then don't be a fool. Do it. Give it to God. Really give it to God. Give it and don't take it back. Like the boy said last night, said, this time I give my heart to God, I'm not going to take it back. Hallelujah. I'm not going to take it back. All right. Let's don't use the gimmicks. Let's just love Jesus. Do it God's way. If your body suffers pain and your health you can't regain, you have to get along, Omega Fair. The Bible tells us that God is watching. He knows all about it. And he'll help us if we'll call on him. Can we sing that one more time? Go leave it there. Go leave it there. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave it there. For if you'll trust, don't ever doubt, God will surely lead you out. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. You know, a lot of people have worked in life. They've built them big mansions and they've bought them nice, beautiful homes. And they've got all the fine things of life. And they sit back in their old age and they say, well, I was a real smart man. I was an intelligent man. I was a very wise man. Look at what I own. In a few days, they're dead and in a coffin and put in the dirt, rotting in the skin, worms eating their body. How smart, intelligent was they? How smart and intelligent was they? Not smart at all, my beloved friend. You know, the smart man is the man, if he never has nothing through life, he loves Jesus. All he ever invested in his lifetime was something for God. He put all of his treasures, all of his time, all of his effort, all of his desire over into heaven. Where your treasures are, that's where your heart will be. Did you know if you invest in things of this world, them things will be on your mind until you go down to the coffin. I don't care how much you struggle to get in God, that thing will always drag your mind back to that old pig pen. Always do it. Whatever it is, it's got your mind. It'll be your treasure. And that will keep your heart. And it'll keep your mind right there until you die. You breathe your last breath. You might struggle to get away from it, but you'll breathe your last breath messing with that pig pen. And go right down in the mire to drop into the dark pit. Let's be wise, folks. Let's be wise. Invest in God. Invest your time in God. I'm going to say this in close. I'm going to let you go in a few minutes. Don't get weary. It's like I said today. I was talking to Gary Bill. Many years ago, I realized the cunningness of Satan. I said, God, I'm trying my best to get ahead in life. And to do something in life. And I said, I see that it's an endless battle. You do one thing and you got to do another thing and another thing and another thing. You never get through. You never get caught up. And I said, Lord, if I spend all of my time making my wife a living and my children a living, and I spend all of my time going to visit my mother and my daddy and my brothers and my sisters and going to the family reunions, and I spend all of my time talking with my neighbors and trying to pay on my house and on my car and all of the other things that goes along with life. I said, my God, there won't be any time left for you. There's not enough hours in the day to do that. I said, Lord, I'm going to seek you first. I'm going to dismiss everything from my mind and I'm going to follow you, Jesus. And I'm going to love you, Jesus, and I'm going to consider the worth of my soul and the destiny of my soul. And God, if you don't add it to me like the Bible tells me that you will, I'll just go like it. Because I mean to be through with this world and the things of this world and not give my life and my time to the frivolous and beggarly elements of this world and then be lost in the end. And to realize, as the rich man, Jesus said, thou fool, and be a fool in the end. Prestige will be gone. Money will be gone. Securities will be gone. A lot quicker than you think. And so then I started out for Jesus. And I started out for God. And ever since then I've been walking with the Lord. And I'm so glad and I'm so happy. Hallelujah. I wouldn't change it for nothing. I wouldn't change it for nothing. I've not wanted for anything. They that walk upright before God shall lack no good thing. I've not wanted for anything. My family hasn't wanted for anything. I think the biggest thing my family ever wanted for was me. And I'm around them all the time, and they can't hardly stand that. But they still want me. They feel like they haven't got me. But Jesus has got me. Jesus has got me. Hallelujah. So you don't have to worry. If Jesus has your husband or wife, you've really got him. You've really got him. All right. I love you. I love you. I just feel like singing one more chorus anyway. Let's sing that chorus we sang so often. I'll give all the glory to Jesus. And we'll give all the glory to Jesus. We'll sing about God's love. We'll sing about God's love.
And we'll give all the glory to Jesus. And we'll sing of His wonderful love. Don't you just love Him tonight? Are you giving Him your time? Are you giving Him your way? Are you giving Him your life? I came by this evening and I looked over the doors. I'm sure you haven't noticed the doors of the windows. Brother Dwight working over there, putting the scallop around the windows and the doors. So lovely. Making the sanctuary of God so lovely. Giving His time to God. Are we doing anything for Jesus? While we sing this chorus, the Lord impressed me tonight, and I feel He wants you to come and stand around the altar for a few minutes. I was going to dismiss without it, but twice I felt impressed to do it because He's wanting somebody to come down here tonight and give their heart to God. Can we sing it again? And we'll give all the glory to Jesus. We'll sing about God's love. We'll sing about God's love. And we'll give all the glory to Jesus. And we'll sing of His wonderful love. You know, I just wish sometimes that Brother Atlin and him could really be thoughtful and catch the people as they stream down out of the balconies in the different places. It's such a radiant look about them as they come down, like the gathering of the saints coming into the house of God or into the kingdom of God. Such beautiful things, but you know, man never seems to get the beautiful things in life. He reasons in his mind about what he ought to get, and he always misses the things that God has so beautiful. And God records all of them in His book. But it's so wonderful, you know, to see people stream down to the altars for Christ. I heard this evening over the TV there, I heard a man tell of the multitudes of people in the foreign countries that was responding to God in His revivals. How beautiful it was. As they caught it on film and He showed the multitude of people as they come to seek Jesus. So beautiful. The Bible said in that day, all nations shall say, let us go up to the house of our God and have Him to teach us of His ways. We've forgotten our God. Let us go up and He will teach us of His ways. How beautiful, how wonderful to be able to know the good things of God. All of the world is going to want to know about these good things that you're learning about right now. Won't be long and the entire world will want to know about these wonderful things that you're learning right now. Hallelujah. Going to need somebody to teach them. Wouldn't you like to have that opportunity? Hallelujah. If you get right in your heart, get right in your mind, when all of the nations of the world begin to turn to God, it's going to require somebody to teach them. Let's try to do what we can for Jesus. Can we sing that again? And we'll give all the glory to Jesus. We'll sing about God's love. We'll sing about God's love. And we'll give all the glory to Jesus. And we'll sing of His wonderful love. I want you to lift your hands with me now. I feel that I've done what I should do tonight. I feel that I've done what the Lord would want me to do. And I want you to close your eyes with me. Lift up your hands. Friend, don't be a forgetful hero. The Bible speaks of people that are forgetful hearers. They hear the word of God, but they are forgetful hearers. And then they turn away from God because they are forgetful hearers. But don't be a forgetful hearer. Apply what we say to your heart and to your mind. Give the more earnest heed to the things you've heard, lest at any time you should let them slip. Take heed how that you hear them, that you know and understand what God's saying to you. Don't be a forgetful hearer. Listen very thoroughly to the things of God.
Jesus wants to help you. He doesn't want you to die. Oh, why will you die, O house of Israel? Why will you die? God is life. God is the spirit of life. God is life. God doesn't want you to die. God has no pleasure in death. God doesn't even have pleasure in the death of the wicked. God has no pleasure in death.